We hear a lot about God. We talk a lot about God. People, it's amazing sometimes the perception that people have of God. Some people want to tie a little cross around their neck and take that with them wherever they go, and that's kind of their God. Some people put him up on the dash of their car, take him out in traffic and expect that little image there to protect them. They even pray to it. People have different perceptions in how they perceive God, but I see God like Isaiah saw him. He said he saw him high and lifted up. And that's the way that I see God this afternoon. And I see God with all the wisdom and understanding above and beyond what you and I could possibly have. Because His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. But yet, as great as God is, I'm blessed this afternoon to know that He still cares for me. He still cares about us, and He concerned about what touches our life and the things that we have to deal with in this world. He's still very concerned about us. And I'm glad to know that I have a high priest that's sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for me, for all of us here this afternoon. Some people have heard the comment made that God can do anything because He's God. Well, the real reality of it is, for the sake of my little message this afternoon, is there are some things that God can't do. The first thing probably pops to people's mind is God can't lie. No, He can't lie. He can't lie. But there's other things that God can't do, and I'd just like to go over some of those for just a few minutes this afternoon. The scripture found in Genesis, the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, it has to do, it deals with Lot and his family being in Sodom and Gomorrah. And how the angels came down and God sent the angels down to tell them to take them out of the city because God was going to destroy those cities. We all know that story. It's very familiar to us. But I want to read one verse here in this chapter, in the 19th chapter of Genesis. In the 22nd verse, the angel was talking to Lot. By God through the angels. And he said here in verse 22, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he had promised, because Abraham was a praying man and praying for his nephew and family, and he had sent an angel to get the family out of there before he destroyed them. God is a God of keeping His promises, isn't He? And so the angel said to him, he said, "Haste thee, escape thither." Putting in my words, hurry up and get out of here. Because God says, I can't do anything until you get out of here. God's going to do something. He set fire down, didn't He? And He destroyed those cities. But in His mercy and His love for Lot and his family, and through the intercessory prayers of Abraham, God promised that He wouldn't destroy them, but He would bring them out of the city. So God is telling you and I this afternoon, folks, there's some conditions that we must meet before God can do some things. And that's what He wants us to know this afternoon. We've got to meet the conditions of His Word. There's people asking God to do things for them, and God can't do it because they won't meet the conditions. They won't humble themselves down and accept what God has to say about it. It seems like the more and more that the world goes on, the harder and harder people are getting. The more difficult that people are, the more mindset that they have to do it their way and to have their control over things, they don't want to do it God's way. But God here says, I can't do anything until thou hast come thither. And I want us to consider that this afternoon. There's people, good, well-meaning people, that are praying and praying and asking God to do things for them. But in their own hearts, they're not willing to meet the conditions. You know, there won't be anybody inside of God's heaven that's never repented. It takes repentance to get inside of God's heaven, doesn't it? The Lord, the Scripture says that all men must repent. And we've all got to repent before we can go see inside of God's heaven. And people are praying and living today in such a way that they want to live life their way and do things their own way. But God's going to take them to heaven just because they pray and talk to God. There's a lot of that going on today. Folks, God can't do that because it would be going against His Word. It would be going against His promises. Heaven wouldn't be worth being there if you and I that had repented went to heaven and there were people there that never repented. That means there'd be sin in heaven. And there ain't going to be no sin in heaven, folks. So there are some things that God cannot do. I remember a story that I heard years ago about a fellow that was trying to talk to his employer. He was trying to help him to see that he needed to give his heart and his life to the Lord. And the employer said, no, he says, I don't think I'm ready now. And so, well, he says, when you are ready, he said, let me know. He said, we'll go down here to the pig pen and we'll get down before the Lord and we'll get a hold of God and God will save your soul. Oh, I'm not going down to the pig pen. He said, I'm not going down there. So as the story goes, time went on for a little while and the man got under conviction, the Lord dealing with his heart, and he come back and he told his fellow, he said, I'm ready to be saved now. He says, you ready to go down to the pig pen? He said, I'm ready to go anywhere because I want to be saved. You got to meet the conditions. If it's going down to the getting as low as you got to get, and whatever it is that God is requiring of you, just meet the conditions, and then we don't tie God's hands. But when we fail to meet the conditions, we're actually tying His hands. And He can't do what we want Him to do or what we think that we want Him to do because we're not willing to get down humble before Him and submit to His will and to His purpose in our life. So you have that little thought in your mind. I'd like to turn over now to Hebrews and look at history just a little bit. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and speaking about the children of Israel, the church that came out of bondage over there back in Abraham's time, Moses' time, and back in the time of the patriarchs. So let's listen to what he says here in the 3rd chapter of Hebrews in the 7th verse. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So first of all here, we learn, he said, today, if you will hear His voice, if you're going to hear what God has to say, the first thing you have to do is keep your heart tender. Keep your heart pliable. Keep your mind and your heart open to be able to receive what God has for you. But he said here, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, which he's talking about the children of Israel when they provoked God because of their unbelief when they were out there in the wilderness, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. You know, God had promised Abraham that he was through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. He promised a promised land, and God wanted in the worst way, if I could say it that way, he wanted so badly for his people. This was his church in that day. He wanted so badly to give them the best that he had to offer. He wanted so badly to get them over into the promised land. But yet, they were hindering what God was wanting to do. You know, we can still do that today. The people hindering what God wanted to do. You know, judgment came upon them, didn't it? Judgment came on those people, 20 years old and upward. They died out there in the wilderness. Folks, they brought their own judgment on themselves. They brought their judgment on themselves. And people, we can be our own worst enemy, and we can bring bad things upon ourselves because of our unwillingness to humble our hearts. Because of our unwillingness to submit ourselves before God. So, he said, I was grieved with them. And he said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Folks, we've got to be so careful and on our guard today that because sin is all around us and the world is moving in all around us today, we've got to be so careful that we don't let our hearts be overcharged. We don't let our hearts be hardened and be influenced by the things that are all around us today. And these folks here, God had promised them some things. He promised Abraham that he would deliver Lot and his family, and God was going to do that because he promised that. And he said, I can't do anything, though. I can't destroy these cities. Folks, God will bless you and I. He'll bless our families. He'll bless our loved ones because of our faithfulness, because of our prayers. You just keep praying for those that you love. You just be faithful at your post of duty. You carry the burden for them. God will bless, folks. He will bless because He hears the prayers of His saints. He hears the prayers of His people. But I want us to think about these people. Those people out there in the wilderness, you couldn't please them. They got to the point where they were unappeasable. You couldn't appease them. You couldn't make them happy. They wanted water, God gave them water. They wanted meat, God gave them meat. They wanted bread, God gave them bread. Pretty soon they got tired and worried with every one of those things, complaining and murmuring and all those kind of unappeasable. Lord, help you and I that we'll always be pliable. Help us that we'll be satisfied with the things that God has for us, folks. We don't want to be murmuring and complaining of the things that God has given us. Those people back there, they were resistant and they were forgetful. They were forgetful, weren't they? All they remembered was the leeks and the garlics and the food that they had to eat. They didn't talk about the bondage. They didn't seem to remember the bondage and the taskmasters that was over them and the whips and all the things that they had to do when they were in bondage. They were forgetful people. They were forgetting that God had drawn them out of the bondage and taken them to the promised land. And because Moses was gone for just a little while, they prevailed upon Aaron to make him a calf, didn't they? He made a golden calf for them to worship. Unappeasable. Hard to deal with. Hard-hearted people. Harden not your hearts, he said, as in the provocation. Folks, there's things that God cannot do for us. No matter how much we beg. No matter how much we plead. Until we humble ourselves down and meet the conditions that He has for us to meet. Then God wants to bless us, and God can do. We can tie God's hands by the very actions that we have, the very way that we live. We can tie His hands. Oh, God just wants to do it so badly, but we won't humble down and we won't submit to what His will and purpose is. I was thinking about some things. I've seen a lot of different types of people down through my life. And I'm thinking about, for just a minute here, some personal traits that people have. Now, this is important. I feel this right here is very important. We all have personal traits. Things that we do that everybody else doesn't do. We all get set in our ways. As a matter of fact, as we get older, we get more set in our ways, don't we? But I'm thinking about two different traits especially. And one of them is intemperance. We're not temperate like we ought to be today. And when I say that, I want to insert this in our temperance. Folks, God has provided for us. He's given us some means to get through life. He's given us jobs. He's given us money. It isn't how much money you have. It's what you do with the money that you have. It's how you handle the money that you have. If we tend to be loose with what God has given us and we frivol it away, God's going to hold us responsible for that. Because we're to be stewards of what God has given us. Our personal traits can hinder what God can do for us. We can pray and beg the Lord and say, Lord, you know I love you, I know this, you know that. But God's looking down on the whole picture. And He sees that we're intemperate. He sees that we're not handling our affairs, our personal affairs, the way that we ought to handle those things. God takes notice of that. And also, people today are slothful. Slothful, careless. Folks, sometimes people say, well, you know, it's so hard for me to get into the spirit of prayer. It's so hard for me to read my Bible. It's hard for me to do this and hard for me to do that. Folks, when we don't draw near to God, we're going to hinder what God can do for us. You say, well, God can do anything. There's some things that God will not do until you and I meet Him where He wants us to meet Him. Do you know there's people that are slothful, but there's also people that are perfectionists? Have you ever seen perfectionist people? Oh, I tell you, I've been around some perfectionist people. That can be just as a hindrance as being slothful or neglectful. It's people that are, that everything's got to be just right. Everything's got to be just neat. There's nothing wrong with being neat. There's nothing wrong with being clean. But there's people that just got to have everything just to perfection to satisfy them. And those things can be a hindrance to us. What we need, every one of us, in whatever it is, in every area of our life, we need to be balanced. We need to keep a balance. Balance things out. Don't go overboard one way or another. But stay balanced about things. Be realistic about things. Look at the situations in life the way God wants you to look at the situations in life. And be balanced in everything that you do. Balanced in the way you spend your money. Balanced in the way you spend your time. He wants you to be balanced in those things. He wants you to be considerate of Him. He's wanting us to honor Him with our lives that we might glorify Him. But we need to be balanced in everything we do in our lives. Let's not be like those back there when the church was in the wilderness. Folks, our temptations today and our trials today, and I talked about some of that this morning, I know. But folks, they're out there to bring us down. They're out there to trip us up. They're out there to cause us problems and issues. But I want to, you don't remember anything else this afternoon. I want you to remember that we can hinder what God can do for us. God said, I can't do anything until you escape. And the Lord wants you and I to be ready in all ways and in all things. Because He can't do anything until we escape and get out of ourselves. Get out of our little shell. Get out of ourselves and let God. Sometimes people are afraid to turn things over. You know, the fellow said in the thing that when Jesus was given a parable there, they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Folks, we need to submit to God and allow Him to have full reign over us. To allow Him to direct, guide, and instruct in our lives. We'll look at another scripture found in the book of Acts. Seventh chapter of Acts is about Stephen, who had been had hands laid on him. He was a man full of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't seem to have, it doesn't appear that he had a real long ministry, but there's a lot of good things said about Stephen here in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts. Now Stephen, one place you might read where it says Stephen gave his defense before the council. Another place you might read that Stephen gave his apologetics for the history of the church. Do you know what apologetics is? It doesn't mean you're apologizing for anything, but it means that you are able to relate the history of the church. The things that the foundation that the church was built upon. Stephen, if you read the seventh chapter, and if you haven't read it for a while, maybe you ought to take time to read it sometime. He begins with Abraham, and he talks about how God dealt with him, how God promised Abraham things. He began to talk about Jacob, and he began to talk about the patriarchs, and he began to talk about Moses, and he began to talk about different things and circumstances that happened back in the Old Testament time. And he was telling them how God had brought his church through the wilderness and brought him to the Canaan land, and how God had blessed and worked through this individual and worked through that individual. How well do you know your history of the church to where we are today? How well do you know it? Lord, help us to be able, if we need a witness to someone, to be able to tell them all that God had done and went through with man to bring us to the place that we are today. Now, I want to bring us to the 51st verse. After he had told them all these things, he began to tell them what kind of a generation of people they were. Now this takes courage, and it takes boldness, because you know they're not going to like what you're saying. But he stood up before them and he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did." That's why he was giving them the history of Israel. "As your fathers did, so do you. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." Folks, when you resist the Holy Ghost, there's things God can't do, because He works through the unction and the administration of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And when we resist His dealings, when we resist His workings in our hearts and lives, and we resist those things, and we back up on those things, there's things that God can't do for any one of us. Do you know? You can't get sanctified. First of all, you can't get saved until you meet the conditions. And you can't get sanctified until you meet the conditions. And you're not meeting the conditions if you're stiff-necked. And he said, uncircumcised in heart and ears and resisting the Holy Ghost. Don't ever resist God. Always ask God to keep your heart open and pliable, that He can talk to you and work with you and deal with you, show you and teach you the way that He would have you to go. We need Him to do that, folks. He said, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They've slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." He said some hard things to these folks, and they took his life. They stoned Stephen because he was telling them the truth, and the truth hurt. And they knew they were guilty of it all. I think about something that you and I have today, and that's called a will. You have a will. As God deals with you and me, folks, we have a will to say, "Lord, I'll accept it or I won't accept it." But we have a will, and if we want God to do something for us, we're going to have to submit to His will, just like Jesus did. Jesus had to submit to God's will. He didn't want to drink the cup, didn't want to suffer, didn't want to go through that. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I thought of a man in the Bible who resisted the will of God. A man that could not even control his own spirit. Lord, help us today to bring our spirits into subjection. The man's name is Samson. He couldn't even control his own spirit. The Lord had plans for Samson. He was a judge of Israel, I think 40 years. And He had plans for Samson. He wanted to use Samson. But Samson couldn't keep himself out of trouble. He couldn't control his spirit. He was always wanting things that he shouldn't have. Folks, when we get in a place where we're wanting things all the time that we shouldn't have, there's some things God's not going to be able to do for us. You say, well, God went ahead and used Samson. Yes, He did. But you know things would have been a lot easier for Samson if he could have controlled his spirit. If he could have controlled his desires, he probably wouldn't have had his eyes put out, would he? He trifled with God. He trifled with what God had given him. Lord, help us today not to trifle with the things that God has given us. He's given us a great salvation. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Son. Let's not trifle with that. Let's not trifle with our souls. Samson trifled with God. He played around with God. And it cost him something. He got his eyes put out. He ended up taking his own life as he took the lives of many others. You see, people can be lost expecting God to do something that He can't do. I think about another fellow, and he's in the New Testament. Remember the young rich man? You know, I think about him a lot. I think about how pitiful I am. How slow that I've been in my life to recognize and realize how much I need God and how to live before Him. Sometimes I think I've needed a brick almost to fall on my head to get the message. Here's a young rich man. God wanted to do something for him. He wanted to do something for him. And this man had a heart after God. Just like David did. And he came to the fountainhead of life. He came to Jesus. He wanted to know, what can I do to have eternal life, didn't he? He came to the fountainhead, the one that was able to give it to him. And he said, keep the commandments. I've kept them ever since I was a boy. All my life I've kept the commandments. What lack I yet? Lord, help us today. What else can I do so God can work in my heart and work in my life? What else can I do that I might be able to find God in eternal life? Jesus told him to go sell that you have and give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Saints, I'm going to tell you today, it's getting harder and harder. And when I say that, I mean because of the pressures of life, the cares of life, because of everything coming in all around us, it's getting harder and harder and harder to sell everything you got and give your heart and life to the Lord. But that's what it's going to take. God said, you got to get out of here. Because I can't do anything until you get out of here. Folks, when we meet the conditions, get down to the place where God would have us to be. And we know where that is. I've said that out all that long ago. We know what it is. We know what the Bible says. We know what God says for how you and I are to live. We know what it is. And that young rich man, he wouldn't do it. He went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to meet the condition. Only one more condition, and he could have had eternal life. Only one more. And Jesus says, for you and I today, take up your cross daily. It's a daily walk, isn't it? Saints, let's not live in such a way that we would hinder what God wants to do in our life. What God wants to do with that. Do you know what happens? I ask the question, what happens when someone gets real sick or gets real afflicted? Do you know what a wise person does? He begins to seek God. If there's any place in my life, Lord, I want you to show me any place. I want you to show me anything that would be hindering my healing or hindering me from making heaven my home. We want to check it out then, don't we? Because we know that God, there's some things God can't do. For one thing, He won't overlook sin, will He? He won't overlook sin. And you know, that's when the rubber really comes down and meets the road. Is we can live and go on every day and live our lives and maybe doing a little trifling with God. Saying, well, you know, there's a thing or two that I know I should be doing. And that I'm not doing. When you get down to that place, and you know you may be leaving this world, you get real serious about it. And you want God to deal with you again. You want God to show you, is there anything, Lord, that would hinder? Because we know God can do it. But when we see that God's not doing it, we must know that there's something in the way. We must know there's a reason why God isn't doing it. It may be His purpose to take this on home. But then again, we still search our hearts. And we search our lives to see that we're pleasing God in everything that we do. The Apostle Paul, who was called Saul, he had to make a change before God could use him. You and I, even now, I look up on my own life, the things that I have to deal with in life, I may need to make some changes in order to please God, in order to obey Him, because I sure don't want to hinder any of His work of grace in my life, in my heart. Saints, I've got a real burden that the Lord's laid on me now for some time, that there's changes going on among us. There's changes going on in the church. People are seeing things a different way. People are doing things a different way. But I want to tell you, when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, it comes down to where I may be drawing my last breath, I don't want God to say, I can't do it because you haven't met the conditions. Lord, help us to meet the conditions. Do you know God doesn't have a set of requirements for you and a different set for me? The requirements are for all. It's universal. It's for every one of us. His requirements are set in the Word. His will is set in the Word. And all I have to do is come along, maybe like that young rich man, Lord. I just want to know what I need to do to inherit eternal life. And basically, I can tell you, meet the conditions. Meet the conditions that God has set down for you and I. Lord, help us this afternoon. God said, I can't do anything until you get out of here. Sometimes there's people struggling, people battling, and calling on God at the same time. And God's saying, I can't do it. Because you haven't been willing to meet the conditions. Lord, help us today to keep our hearts open, our minds open, keep our ears open, to be receptive. You know, Paul said over there in Hebrews, you're hard-hearted. Harden not your hearts in the days of provocation. Stephen here said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost. I don't want to resist God. Because I know that if God is limited in any way, it's because of me. It's not Him. He's lost no power, lost no ability. He's still God, and He's still well able. But if I resist Him, and I don't humble my heart before Him, folks, I can hinder His work of grace in my life. I don't want to do that. None of us want to do that. We want to be faithful. We want to be true to the Lord. May the Lord help us all to be on our guard, be watchful, to be willing. What does the Scripture say? The willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. Lord, help me to be willing. Help me to be obedient, that I might enjoy the blessings of this great, rich salvation that Jesus so freely gave to us. You pray for me that I'll be faithful.